Well, big news out of the United States in the last 24 hours. It could be the final nail in the coffin for Australia's ambitious target to get everyone driving electric vehicles. The US government looks set to dump a controversial rule aimed at boosting the uptake of EVs. It would have seen around two-thirds of all new cars and light trucks electric by 2032. But due to declining popularity and increasing production costs, the Biden administration looks set to put it on hold. And this could have flow-on effects in Australia because the federal government has aimed to copy the American approach. Last year, Labor flagged that it would bring Aussie rules in line with those in the United States by 2028. The Energy Minister, Chris Bowen, has also previously said 89% of new car sales will be electric by 2030. But as we told you last year, we're on track to achieve just 27%. So it looks like we're going to miss our target by 62%. The Shadow Energy Minister, Ted O'Brien, is in Sydney today, and he's in the 2GB studios. Ted, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Ben.
What are you driving?
Well, right now, I'm looking at a car, to be honest with you.
An EV?
I'm actually looking at a hybrid. I'm looking at a hybrid at the moment. I was going to get what's called a bi-directional one, where you can plug into your home and it can go both ways. But in Queensland, you can't get the infrastructure. That can only be South Australia. So that's what we're looking at the moment, a Kia. We'll wait to see.
What does this mean for Australia, this news out
of
America?
Well, what this basically means is the Labor government came out and said, we have to be like the United States. They introduced effectively their policy. And as Chris Bowen is putting his foot on the accelerator, in the US, they're pulling up the handbrake. They're basically saying EV growth in the US is going down because of these policies. Prices are going up. Consumers aren't copping it. Yet here in Australia, Labor's doubling down. So consumers are going to get whacked with higher prices.
We've got a few issues about cars at the moment. The federal government has unveiled their plans to improve car efficiency standards. And under the proposal, Labor will impose a cap on average vehicle emissions from 2025. And car manufacturers are saying, well, this is going to mean prices are going to go up, significant price increases for utes and SUVs.
Yeah, look, the industry is predicting up to $25,000, up to $25,000 extra for your vehicle over the next 5 years. So if you look at Australia's top three selling vehicles, by next year, they are predicting it's going to go up somewhere between $2,000 and $6,000. So, you know, that's for the likes of the Ranger, the Hilux, the D-Max. These things are going to go up. This is what the industry is predicting. And unlike the United States and other places that get subsidies for consumers, no, Labor's not doing that. They're just whacking a tax. Now, it's fair enough to reduce emissions, but there has to be genuine choice, and you can't have prices skyrocket in the midst of a cost of living crisis. But that's what they're doing.
We've also had warnings from home builders saying, well, the cost of building a home will go up because if you're hitting the tradies and everyone working on a construction site, well, they are going to be paying more and they're going to be looking to make up the difference.
Exactly. They're going to be passing it on. So anyone who's using a tradie, eventually the cost will come through to you. To mums and dads who drop their kids off at school, you know, SUVs everywhere to throw the stuff in the boot. But right now, they are looking at this saying, well, I don't know, we're going to stay in my existing car for longer. And this is the thing, Ben. Even for emissions reduction, people are going to stay in their existing cars longer to avoid the extra cost. Now, that just means you're going to have higher emitting vehicles on the road anyway. So it's not going to achieve vehicle emissions reduction. It's going to be higher prices and you're limiting choice for consumers. It's a bad move. It's a bad tax. And the US has learnt the lesson. Australia hasn't.
Ted O'Brien is with us in the studio. He's the Shadow Energy Minister facing up against Chris Bowen. Dick Smith has bought some newspaper ads today, including in the Australian newspaper, and he quotes the former Prime Minister Bob Hawke, who once said, nuclear power would be a win for the environment and an essential part of attacking global warming. So Dick Smith is on the nuclear mission. He has been for a long time. Peter Dutton is obviously going to be campaigning for this ahead of the next election. What would you say to Chris Bowen, your opposite number, when it comes to those words from Bob Hawke?
Well, Chris Bowen should learn from not just Bob Hawke, but even Gough Whitlam, who took to the election a nuclear policy. You know, Zero emissions nuclear energy should not be a political thing, Ben. It's a technology, for crying out loud. The rest of the world is using it. In fact, they're wanting even more of it. Our peer countries around the world are saying we need more nuclear energy. In Australia, it is illegal. There's a ban, and the Labor government won't even contemplate the possibility of having it as part of our energy mix.
Still on Chris Bowen, he's proposed a new offshore wind zone off the coast of Bunbury in Western Australia, so it's got a question mark over it. A little bit like the Illawarra region in New South Wales has got a question mark. We know that there's an offshore wind zone coming to the Hunter, but it provides a bit of a nervous weight for a lot of these communities.
Yeah, more than a nervous weight, because they've seen how Chris Bowen has managed community consultation, and he basically blocks his ears and hums and does whatever he wants to do. And the people of the Hunter you mentioned, they do have a declared zone. That declaration should be rescinded, should be thrown out. They should go back and reopen consultation, because Chris Bowen and Labor are ignoring local communities because they have to steamroll them to achieve their targets. And this is the problem. They set targets that are unachievable, they get desperate, and they basically steamroll over regional communities to get what they want.
Speculation WA will be nervous. Around today about when we're going to go to the polls. Anthony Albanese potentially considering an early election, and I'll take you through some of the details later on in the program when you're gone, Ted, about why people are speculating about this. But I've been saying for some time that there may be a political argument for the Prime Minister to get it out of the way earlier rather than later. What's the timing of the election as far as the Coalition sees it?
Well, I don't know if the Coalition actually has a set view on it. My personal view is everybody knows Anthony Albanese is looking weak. The economy is looking poor. So I think he will be inclined to go sooner than later, because it's only going to get worse. People are working him out. So he'll make his own judgment. My guess is he himself doesn't know yet. But I think he will be going as early as he can get away.
Peter Dutton's always struggled, though, hasn't he, in that preferred Prime Minister stake?
Well, look, I think people are getting to know Peter Dutton, and they're getting to know Anthony Albanese, and they know that Peter Dutton is strong, Anthony Albanese is weak. Peter Dutton runs a united team that knows how to run the economy. Anthony Albanese is a one-page leader. He has no idea. If it's not on one page, he hasn't got a clue what's going on.
I'm guessing in the lead-up to the next election, whenever it happens, you'd be happy to debate Chris Bowen live in the studio here?
I'd be delighted. So issue the invitation, Ben, and I'll be here with bells on.
We appreciate you dropping into the studio.
Likewise.
Ted O'Brien, the Shadow Energy Minister, joining us here on 2GB Breakfast.